Remember back in the early weeks of the pandemic and distance learning took over for education, some parents with the means to do so banded together with other parents to establish learning pods. They would choose a location, typically the backyard of one of the family's houses, hire someone to be the teacher for the pod of the kids of the various families, and their idea was to do a kind of homeschooling as an alternative to the distance learning that the overwhelming majority of kids have been going through over these past 9+ months. To find out how that is going so far into this experiment is Naomi Light Givon, who's the CEO and founder of Pod School, an LA-based company that matches families and learning pods with professional teachers. They also work on providing the curriculum and the administrative and legal support to the family pods. Naomi, thank you very much for being with us. Have there been surveys to determine how many of these pods are out there?
You know, I actually don't know if there have been surveys to determine how many are out there, where all of them are located, but a lot of them are in our big cities like Los Angeles, obviously. And there are dozens of informal pods as well as more formal pods. So there are social pods and learning pods, and there are distinguishing differences between all of them. So I don't think I was doing some research actually, and I don't think there is a survey out there yet.
And so let's talk about the more formal of these, this particularly what your company does, working with bringing a teacher in. This isn't just like a technology pod where you have kids that are together and doing online education. So what have been some of the challenges in making this work?
Absolutely. So the biggest challenge is the one before the pod starts, and that's making sure that the families are aligned in their goals and their safety protocols in starting their pod. So for us at Pod School, we start there talking with families. What are your needs? What are your expectations? What are your goals? And have you discussed them with your pod? If not, let's go down on Zoom and start talking about that before we even begin your teacher search. Because you can have such divergent ideas of what one family wants for their child and another family wants that they haven't gone over yet that could create friction in the future. So we want to get ahead of that and start there first.
What about whatever family is hosting the site for the learning pod carrying greater share of influence because they're there on site? Typically, it's going to be their yard perhaps where this takes place. Has that created friction?
In some ways, yes. Usually the friction happens when families come together with their agreement specifically for safety and activity protocols, and then families kind of lax up on what they're doing, or a family is continuously running late to their pod pickup and the pod host feels obligated to, keep watching their other parents' children while waiting for pickup. So that friction can happen. We try to mitigate that with strict rules and making sure that we, as the administrators of the pod, are able to connect with other families and say, hey, we noticed you're, picking up your child late. Can you make sure to be on time as to not burden your other pod families? In terms of some pods actually structure it themselves in that they say, okay, let's have our host family get a discounted rate because we'll pick up their extra charge because we want to acknowledge that they're using their resources, their home, their mm-hmm. extra time. So it's mitigated by that a lot of times.
I also wonder about, because there's a lot of discord over the degree to which some people are following COVID-19 protocols. And I would think this could be another source of conflict between parents over, whether parents are consistently following the health department guidelines or whether they're, living more out there in the world, potentially infecting others in the pod.
Absolutely. So we are actually in quite close touch with our pods to make sure that they are aware of any new orders that come down. So we're based in Los Angeles. We have pods throughout California. So obviously the overarching rules are California state, and then we go locally. And so when the new safer at home orders came down in Los Angeles, we contacted all of our pods. We said, these are the orders we've confirmed with the Department of Health on how you need to be making sure your pod is functioning. You, like, for example, right now during lockdown, there's no home rotation allowed. Many parents were alternating the burden of rotating homes for their pod. And at this point in time, that is not allowed right now under the lockdown laws. And so we try to make sure that all of our families are acknowledging the laws as well as following them. And then if there are any conflicts internally within the pods, I actually help to mediate and have those conversations to say, okay, this is your expectations right now. We are trying to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and operate safely. You know, you as adults must be wearing your mask at all times. If your children are able to and above the age of 2, wear your mask. Your teachers are required to wear your mask. And here are the safety protocols and the guidelines you should be following on top of whatever you discussed at the beginning.
Have you had outbreaks?
So we've had a number of pods where one parent or family member has become symptomatic, but it has not spread to any of the other children or families in the pods because of these safety measures. Because it's so prevalent in our community, it's really common that somebody was exposed at somebody else's work. And so we shut down the pod, pause it, and families get tested, wait the 14 days, and then get back to activities when they're feeling better.
We're talking with Naomi Light Givone, CEO and founder of Pod School, LA-based company matching families and learning pods with professional teachers. I'd like to hear from you if your family has had a learning pod, and maybe it's a variant on this where you didn't hire a professional teacher, but families came together and did some other supportive education. Maybe it's a technology pod or other ways that you've coped with this. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. How have learning pods worked for you, if that's something that your household has taken part in? 866-893-5722. Back in 90 seconds. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC and the KPECC app. I'm Larry Mantle. We're asking families who've been part of learning pods developed as a way of trying to keep in-person education continuing for kids. If you've had experience with that, want to hear from you at 866-893-KPECC. Also, the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Naomi Light Givone joining us. She's CEO and founder of Pod School. How challenging has it been to find decent teachers, given that, you know, most teachers who've been employed are still working? They're just doing what they've done remotely. So, you know, who is left to teach?
That's a great question. So Pod School, we focus more on the younger age children. And unfortunately, many preschools have actually closed or downsized over the last 10 months because of the pandemic. And so I've hired a director of education with 15 years experience in the field to make sure we're finding, vetting professional teachers who have a bit more early education experience that can support preschool through kindergarten, first grade. And we do have many elementary school teachers who were typically substitute teachers in the school systems who no longer can sub because there are very few in-person classes. And so we're also recruiting them to support these families who've got kinder, first, second, third grade students.
Yeah, I was wondering too about, you know, we think of this as something that families of means are doing, but I was actually reading, I think it was in Chicago, I can't recall now the city, where a housing project had actually established a learning pod on site there. And I was wondering what, if any, knowledge you have about low-income teaching pods and their ability to sustain.
Absolutely. We are actually talking to some nonprofits to see if we can help facilitate that here in Los Angeles as well. We haven't gotten anything off the ground yet, but it depends on, actually a lot of it depends on typically on regulations of where you can have license exempt childcare, because in California, childcare is really any, I believe it's any children under through elementary school. You need to follow certain regulations. So having different sites for learning pods, it has to be under very specific criteria. So it's complicated, but I think if we are able to find some great nonprofit partners that are already working in these communities and in education, it's absolutely possible. It's also possible to make learning pods affordable and support our teachers at the same time based on the number of students in a pod. So
I know the cost is challenging because it does depend on the number of parents, but do you have a median per family cost for those that are in pods that you set up?
Yes, absolutely. So our typical pods are around 4 children in a pod. And depending on how many hours per week their pod activities are going, the range is between about $10 and $15 an hour.
All right.
And some get lower based on the number of hours increasing.
Amanda in Brentwood, I understand your family's in a couple of learning pods?
Yes, we are in a TK pod and a second grade pod.
So how have they gone so far?
Well, they've gone really well. We hired independent teachers from our preschool and from the LAUSD system. And everything was going very well. We had a contract between all the parents, a legal contract stating our expectations of the members of the bubble, not having any play dates outside of the children that were present at the bubble. And the adults were required to wear masks at all times and social distance. Unfortunately, one family had a third child in a bubble in a pod that didn't follow those same expectations, and they did end up getting COVID. And so that person exposed us, and our pods had to shut down for 2 weeks. And then, you know, tensions got high, and unfortunately, that person decided to drop out of the pods. So has left a space open, and we're kind of trying to scramble to find somebody to fill it in. But
so you're all picking up the additional cost of that, I assume.
Thankfully, we paid up front, so it's all okay.
All right. Amanda, I appreciate it. When it comes to the expectations, I mean, you had that one family that got sick, but for the most part, people, as well as you could tell, did try to adhere to the proper protocols?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Everyone was very, very, very careful.
So do you feel like your kids kept pace during this time, or have they fallen behind even with the learning pod?
Well, we just took assessments in our group, and our kids are actually doing above grade level. We are in the LAUSD system, and they have actually finished the whole second grade curriculum and are now on to third grade already.
So, wow.
I think that the individual attention and the individualized curriculum has been actually extremely beneficial for our kids.
What are you going to do when on-site schools open to full-time instruction?
Well, I assume that that's not going to be until fall of 2021. And I think that we will just have to evaluate where we are as a country and where we are with the vaccine. And if everything seems safe, we'll probably end up going back to our LAUSD school. But I have to say that this has been a great experience for us.
Amanda and Brentwood, thank you so much for being with us. Speaking of going back in the fall, the Los Angeles Times is reporting the University of California plans to bring students back to its campuses for mostly in-person classes beginning in the fall. So that's the announcement from the University of California. We're talking about learning pods and how that's gone for kids. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Naomi Light Givone, has that sort of testing that Amanda just talked about, is that something that is fairly common, that the local districts are doing that for the kids in the pods?
So for most of our pods, anyone that's enrolled in elementary school, they are following their elementary curriculum, staying enrolled in schools. And we allow our teachers and our pods to decide if they want to continue to do their assessments. So that's not part of our formal program. But I agree with what the last caller just said, in that these smaller class size, more individual attention to the students allows them to thrive in that type of learning environment.
Yeah, is it likely that for parents who want to continue this after school goes back, that at that point you'd have a hard time having teachers who could commit to this? Because presumably then substitutes would be working again.
Absolutely. You know, I think that there's still going to be teachers that are qualified to do these learning pods. However, we do encourage families to continue to be enrolled in their schools. And if they go back, we actually think that more preschool age children will be joining learning pods or learn and play pods as a addition or a substitute to in-person preschool because of those closures that have happened over the last 10 months. So we think it'll just shift to younger demographics.
Naomi, thank you for being with us and talking about how things have gone with the learning pods in these 9 months or so since the concept was introduced because of the pandemic and the closure of in-person education. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
She's the CEO and founder of Pod School based in Los Angeles, Naomi Light-Givone. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up on Fresh Air at noon, Fran Lebowitz will be the guest. And of course, at 1 o'clock, it's All Things Considered with Austin Cross. He'll have the very latest on what's happening with COVID-19, including what Governor Newsom has to say in his midday news conference. That's coming up, All Things Considered with Austin Cross, 1 o'clock, right here on KPCC. Coming up, we'll talk about a brand new podcast from LAist Studios, Norco 80. A huge event here in Southern California. We'll talk about what happened and what its effect was on policing back in a minute.